would to the 19th division of the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 19. When you found your place in the 19th Psalm, go ahead and rise to your feet with me as we honor the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, immutable, irreversible, irreplaceable word. I want to read one verse of Scripture to you. It is one that you are going to be familiar with. You've probably heard before. And I'm going to use it as a jumping off point. It is the 14th verse, the final verse of the chapter. Listen closely. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Did you get that? Be acceptable where? In thy sight. The sight of God. The ears of God, the heart of God must be pleased with the, what he says right here, words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. It's to be acceptable in His sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Did you know that God gives you the strength, gives I the strength to do what is right with our mouth and with our heart, with our mind, the daily aspects of life. The Lord allowed me to cross paths with this thought, and I want to share it with you very different today. I want to share some thoughts with you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that I can come to you. Thank you for that day that I trusted you as my Savior, and I can call you Father. And as the ladies were just singing, thank you for that night, how I remember it. London, Kentucky, when I made up my mind. Though I were saved, Lord, I hadn't given you everything. I remember that night so clearly when you gripped my heart and you wouldn't let go. Thank you for changing my life that night. Help me to be faithful to you. Lord, I've tried to seek your face about what we needed to do this morning. You know my heart. You know I have. I pray that you would speak to my heart as I speak to this people. May I say nothing that would be displeasing to you. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. And Lord, I know very clearly that you don't have to have me today, but I absolutely do have to have you. And I pray that you would help us have open hearts for what you've got. Help us to be different and apply these things to our lives. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing with me. I've been very diligent this week to really seek God and ask God to give me the words to say about these things. Never is it my intent or my desire to be unkind about anything. But I do desire to be gracious. The Bible teaches me that my words must be seasoned with such. I have nothing to say to anybody here in particular, just us as a body. You know my burden for the Church of America. You know my burden for the condition that we are now with believers, Christians, where we're at. And it's every day that I'm hearing of a brand new church that is in such condition that they are at least floating the idea among themselves that it's time just to shut down and move on. My heart is burdened by that. I've heard the statistics, you have too, into the hundreds, into the thousands of churches each year that are shutting down across this nation. We are living in some volatile times. We are living in some fluid times. Times that we've never been in before, obviously, but the circumstances of such. We've never been in these places before. And I'm afraid that so many of the things that have been going on in our world, in our area, I believe they have affected the church in such a dramatic way. We are living in our world right now, friends, and in our nation, and among people in general, in a time where there is such bitter division. Just a divide that is everywhere. Divided about everything. I mean, you can't even have a conversation with people anymore out in this world without there being matters of division that comes up. And what I'm suggesting to us this morning is that we as the Christian, we have got to be diligent in making sure that we do not draw a wall, build a wall, draw a divide that is there. I believe we've been divided in many things over the past, just say, year and a half, two years, we'll say, maybe a little longer. And that bitter division has come into the church of America. It's a bitter division that has been stoked by many powerful sources in our world. And people that get influenced by it makes its way, it does, into the doors of the church house all across America. I want to talk to you about this today because I don't want us to get caught into that trap. I don't know that we have. Matter of fact, I don't believe we have. Don't you believe it's important that you be proactive sometimes to make sure that we know what we need to do and what we don't need to do? When I think about this bitter division that is going on across our nation, across our world, that has crept into our churches, I think of three particular categories by which our nation has been divided and by which we are experiencing in the church of God today. And I don't want to see it happen in our church, ever. I hope you don't either. In the past couple of years, maybe plus, we have seen a division among people. We've been divided among people. What I mean by that is race. We have been divided racially, it seems. And there is such high tensions surrounding that particular issue. You don't have to think far. You didn't have to look hard over the past couple of years to see everything that's been said, to see everything that has been done. I have never been able to forget something that Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. said at a meeting we were at Arise this past month, or a couple of months ago now. He was dealing with some of these matters, and he made a statement that I've not been able to forget. We have spoken about before. He said this. He said, anybody that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God cannot be racist. Anybody that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God cannot be. This church is set here to reach all people. Red, yellow, black, and white. I want them all. I've told you time and time again, the red ones, the yellow ones, the black ones, the white ones, whenever we learn that there's green people in Mars, we need to go and get them as well. We are to reach people. But yet there has been powers across our nation that has been dividing, and that has crept into the Church of America. The matter of race, division among people having to do with that issue. Another source of division has been politics. That's not surprising to anybody, is it? Over the past 18 months or so, there has been such a bitter divide in America over politics. Red, blue, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal politics. I met with a man yesterday and we were speaking about some things non-related, and he began to share some of his burden having to do with that very issue of how it has divided the church. Knowing in my mind what I was going to try to address today and just mention in passing, it's true. Churches across America have been divided in that. Here's what I want us to know. We stand on the truth of God. Amen. The truth of the Word of God. I've told you many times as well that it's not a matter of right, left, blue, red, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. It's a matter of the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? Here's the problem. The strategy of many of those that have been dividing the nation over this particular issue are taking biblical matters and making them political issues. They are politicizing the Bible. And in their own way, backing the preachers of God, the church of God, into the corner that if you dare touch a Bible matter that has been politicized, you get labeled then as hate speech. I just want to remind us again, we stand on the Word of God. You have never heard me get on any type of trail going anywhere that is not based on the authority of the Word of God. But if it's in there, we're going to preach it. By God's grace, we're going to stand upon it. Do not merge the line and blend the line between the two of what politics is and what the Bible is. Don't let that get in the way. Let the politicians do what they want. We are the Christian. We stand on the Bible. Don't allow race, people. Don't allow politics to get into a way of dividing the church. You will learn if you study the Bible, it will guide your politics. It will do it every time. Every time. We've been divided in the Church of America due to people, race, politics. How many of you know we've been divided over the past 18 months over a pandemic? Have you recognized that? The church has been divided over a pandemic. Now again, I state, I don't know that the origins of the virus are relevant to where we're at. The point is, it's here. And there's going to come a day, God is going to deal with all of that. God is going to bring all of that full circle. He'll deal with it. We're never going to be able to deal with that. Matter of fact, eternity is going to reveal what was corrupt, what was actually truly accidental. We don't really know. God is going to have to deal with it, and God will deal with it. God will deal with it. And you better be careful about what side of that you land on, whether it be with people, race, politics, or pandemic, because God's going to deal, and the truth's going to come out. God's going to deal with it. And you get on God's side. Don't worry about God getting on your side. You get on God's side of whatever is right. And this way you'll be okay when the moment comes when God begins to deal with it. We've been divided by pandemic. And don't even begin to think that we haven't. The Church of America, I mean. Now the reason that I feel so compelled to share this with you today and, you know, address these particular issues, but when we come to this third thought of pandemic right here, is because it looks like this thing is kicking up again and is more aggressive in certain ways than what we have experienced in the past. And so therefore, we don't know what is about to happen with it. And as the pressure gets on, as the tension comes, we need to know how to handle it. Everybody has an opinion about what's going on. Opinions are fine. Opinions aren't necessarily what need to be discussed at the house of God with it. I'm happy to share. You might be surprised at my opinion on some of it. I'm happy to share it in the appropriate time and in the appropriate place. All of these things that have gone on have divided the Church of America because the devil's plan has been to get it inside the walls and inside the hearts of the church. And in so many cases, he is succeeding. I've addressed the pandemic many times. Preached a series on crisis in America last year when all of this was coming down. Maybe you remember that. Of late, one of the divisive issues is all of the things surrounding the pandemic. The most vivid one right now is vaccinations. So I just want to clear this up one more time. Vaccinations are out there. Get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated, between you and God. Make your choice on that. On July 4th, I shared some thoughts with you on question marks of freedom in America. You're an American, you make your choice on that. It is not my place to influence you one way or another. And I've tried not to. I have told you from the Word of God on that day. I told you from the Word of God what my problem was with it, with the satanic candy that was being dangled out. That's my issue with it. And I think that's something that the Christian has to consider with that. Line up with the Bible. You examine what is in a vaccine, and if God gives you peace in your heart to take it, and you believe it's best and right for you, you take it. I'm not telling you not to. I'm not even trying to influence you not to. Again, you may be surprised where I'm really at on that. I'm not trying to. You line up with what the Bible says. But I'm not going to try to influence you. I tell you, you need to know what you're putting in your body, and it may be just fine for you to put it in your body. But it is no different if you take a vaccine and you put it in your body than it is walking across the Walmart parking lot, seeing a random pill, picking up and popping it and swallowing it. You need to make sure what you're putting there will be God-honoring. You follow the Holy Ghost of God. And whatever you do, you will then be responsible to God. I will then be responsible to God. And we don't need to influence anybody else about it. And we need to make our choices in that. Honor God with what is said and done. And how would you do it? Divisions. 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 The church of God cannot afford in this day that we are in to be distracted to experience division in it. Never before have we been in a time where we're experiencing more aspects and more avenues of division on every category and in every case. Remember, we're here for the gospel. We're here for people. By God's grace, I'm going to press on, find a way to move this church forward in the middle of a mess that we are in. We're going to go on offense for the glory of God to reach people, point them to the mighty cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all that matters. Because of all this, sometimes tensions are high. Sometimes circumstances, they are fluid. Boy, they're changing every day. Goodness gracious. You can't turn the news on or look at an article to where you're seeing something new that is going on in our world. Circumstances are fluid. They are very, very stressful. The bottom line is tempers are flaring across our world today. We as Christians, God's people, remember folks, we are representing God in this world. We are God's ambassadors in this world. And we need to be so, so cautious about how we represent our Lord and how we lift up and we magnify our Lord to a world that is on their way to hell. And so therefore, when we are in the midst of all of the tensions that are high, we're in them. The circumstances that are fluid, we're in them. And all of the forms of tempers that we in our flesh, don't you know our flesh is weak? Oh, we're a mess. Our flesh is flaring. There's one thing that we need to remember in the middle of all of this. This is what God gave me 2 or 3 weeks ago that I ran across that I just passed out to you. It is simply titled, Think. Just think. I shared this with my wife 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we sat there and we talked about it, didn't we? About how that these truths are things that we need to govern our life by. I need to. And as we've gone through these past couple, 3 weeks, they have been things that have resonated in my mind. And I want you to think with me about them today. Would you do that? I hope that you will. I ran across this acrostic some weeks ago. And I want you to write down what the word think ought to stand for. And what we need to do is we need to apply them biblically to our lives as Christians as we are out in this world to make sure that when we are dealing not only with a lost world that is out there with the Christian folks, the saints of God, believers, the church of God, that we think so there is no division that comes between us and the world, us and believers. Write this down, would you? First of all, T is going to stand for truth. Just truth. T stands for truth. In the book of Zechariah, it speaks a little bit about this. And I told my class yesterday that I was in, that I was thinking about this. And there are books of the Bible that are difficult to find. Some of those minor prophets that are out there, they are difficult to find. I was at a preacher's fellowship this past Thursday. And the preacher was up there preaching. He announced his text and he said, I want you to turn to the book of Zephaniah. I tell you what, I have read the book of Zephaniah. I have studied the book of Zephaniah. I have preached from the book of Zephaniah many, many times. But on Thursday morning at about 20 minutes after 10, I could not find the book of Zephaniah to save my life. I could not do it. Brother Timothy was with me that day. Brother Timothy, in his infinite wisdom that he had, turned and looked at me, sitting to my right with this cheesy grin on his face and says, I beat you. I said, I beat you. I thought to myself, and I didn't say it, I had to stay right with God. Mind your own business, boy. But I beat you. My pages of my Bible were sticking together, and sermon notes that I had in my Bible were falling out. I even dropped, lost control of my Bible at one time. Everybody was hearing pages turning and looking back at who this guy is who hadn't found Zephaniah yet. The preacher was through his first point before I ever even arrived at his text in Zephaniah. I share that with you because the book of Zechariah and the book of Zephaniah, they are in your Bible, and there are some good things in them. And so therefore, when we start talking about truth, and we start talking about this matter of think and this matter of truth, you need to consider what Zechariah had to say about it. Zechariah said in chapter number 8 and verse number 16, listen to these right here. It says, "These are the things that ye shall do." Now, you understand what the Bible says. Under divine inspiration of God, He is speaking to Zechariah and He's saying, "This is what you are to do." Now, how many of you are saved? Say amen. Amen. If you've been saved today, here's what God says you and I must do when it comes to this. He says, "These are the things which ye must do. Speak ye every man the truth to who? His neighbor. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of what? Of truth and peace in your gates." He is saying truth is what ought to govern your life, and so therefore you ought to land yourself and drop your anchor on truth. There ought to be nothing else that ever come out of your mouth, through your mind, that is not base and has not been showered entirely, saturated in the truth. Truth in our day today has become relative. Truth today in 2021 has been something that is now adaptable to the circumstances of what we and people want truth to be. And that is why we are seeing bitter divides in our nation and bitter divides in our churches across our land, because truth has been so compromised. The lines of right and wrong have been so blurred in so many different ways. You see, if we are not careful, we will substitute opinions for truth. And before long, it'll creep out at us. You know, and all of a sudden, truth gets compromised. Because of what we feel. We all do it. Look, every one of us do it, don't we? Sure we do. Every one of us do. We have our thoughts. We have our direction on things that we think. And if we're not careful, we will compromise those things of truth because of what we may have in our mind and in our heart. So here's what we need to remember. When the tensions are high, when the circumstances are fluid, when the tempers are flaring, before we open our mouth to release one word, we need to stop and think to make sure it's true. Make sure that it stands on truth. Before we do anything that comes out of our mouth, we better make sure it is truth. It's truth from the Word of God. So you write down on your piece of paper right there, T stands for truth. I want you to look at H though. Would you do that? T is truth in this ministry of think. H stands for helpful. Truth. Helpful. Is what we are about to say helpful? Helpful. Is it going to help make the situation that we find ourselves in the middle of better? Listen to what the Bible says. Paul gave us this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4. You're familiar with it. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Friends, this life is not about you. It is not about me. Everything we do ought to revolve around Him. Him. And our agendas should not be the number one thing that governs our lives. You see, sometimes we are more concerned about our own agendas. We are more concerned about what we are wanting to accomplish in our life than what is really helpful to the situation that we are faced with, the one that is laying right out in front of us. And we find ourselves in these times where we open our mouths and what we say is not helpful. It is not productive to what we are facing. Again, every one of us have been there. So remember, when we find ourselves in these places where the tensions are high, where the circumstances are fluid, where the tempers are flaring, before we open our mouth to share what is about to roll off of our tongue, those words, stop and think and make sure what we're about to say is helpful to the situation that is right before us. Don't ever make a situation worse because you walked into the middle of it. And we've all done that. I mean, you're in the middle of a conflict or whatever it may be, or some people are. Maybe you walked into the middle of something. Maybe you just walked into something. Maybe you were pulled into the middle of it, whatever it might be. And your presence there ought to make it better. And if you can't make it better, if I can't make it better, if I can't define truth on the Word of God, if I can't make it better, if I can't be helpful in it, the best thing to do is just to be quiet. Say, guys, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to help in this situation. I don't think I can help. Anything I say is going to be in flesh, be honest with you. And it's just best for me to walk away and introduce you to somebody else who maybe can help you further. Bow our heads and let's just pray. So before we open our mouths, make sure it's truth. Before we open our mouths, make sure it's helpful to the situation. T, truth. H is helpful. I, make sure it is inspiring. I-N-S-P-I-R-I-N-G. Make sure it is inspiring. See, this isn't about the situation so much as it is about the person that finds themselves in the middle of the situation that they are in. You see, in other words, don't do anything unless you're able to lift the person up who is in the middle of that situation. Does it uplift the person who is struggling? Does it uplift the person who at that point may be facing one of the greatest decisions of their life, one of the greatest tragedies even of their life? You never know, whatever the situation is, does it inspire them in the situation? Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4 says, verse number 29. Oh, listen now. Let no corrupt conversation proceed out of your mouth. Reminding us again, I'm reading the Bible. John Alverson did not say that. No corrupt conversation proceed out of your mouth. But there is something that is to come out of our mouths. No corrupt conversation, but that which is good. That which is good to the use of edifying. Lifting up. Inspiring is what he is referring to here. May minister grace unto the hearers. Now listen to me. No one should ever walk away from a conversation that we have that they are more confused and more discouraged than they were when we went into that conversation. Never. As a child of God, we ought to be determined to make sure that we're in the middle of this thing to clear up. We ought to make sure that we're in the middle of it to inspire people that are, look, just hurting. We're surrounded by people that are just hurting. Listening to a song on the way to church this morning, talking about people who come to church. We're just such hurting. We're just such broken people. And we have got to help one another. We have got to inspire one another to keep on pressing on for the Lord. So whenever, ladies and gentlemen, the tensions are high, the circumstances are fluid, the tempers are flaring, be careful. Do not open your mouth. Do not let the words come out of your mouth until you are absolutely convinced, thinking that what you are about to say is truth, is helpful, is inspiring. But let me also add right there that it has integrity too. Right there, we'll have two for I, that it has integrity. You don't find that anymore. Did you know you can speak the truth? You can say what would be helpful. You can say what would be inspiring and uplifting. But it's not received because it's done in the wrong way. And many times we fail to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish primarily for the Lord because we are not doing it with the highest level integrity that God expects us to do it with. The reason we don't reach so many people with the gospel is because of our approach. Integrity. Do what is right. Integrity. Think. T is truth. H is it helpful? I is it inspiring? N. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Do you have to say what you were about to say? Now remember, we're talking about a volatile situation that we are in our world. And it appears that it's only about to get more volatile, more fluid, more stressful, more difficult than what we've known yet. It appears that we're praying God has mercy. We are. But if things continue to escalate, we've got to stop and think. This world is watching us, making sure it's true, making sure it's helpful, it's inspiring, it's filled with integrity. Is it necessary? I made a statement back several weeks ago when preaching. I made a statement that the times that I have said things, I've opened my mouth to say things that I've come to regret are more than what I could even remember. But the times that I've kept my mouth shut, I can probably count on one hand. And those are things that we need to understand. Is it necessary to say the things that we so desperately want to say? Listen to what the Bible said. I love the book of Jude. The only chapter in the third verse. The Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence," he made every attempt possible. "When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." You remember our study in that? Jude wanted to write about salvation, the grace of God. God redirected him, though, in that. And here's how he redirected him. This is how he describes it. Jude said, "It was needful." It was necessary. It was needful. In other words, even the gospel message that Jude wanted to write about, God says, that's not what's needful right now. I got other people taking care of that. It's needful for you to say something else. It's needful to you to follow what I say. He says, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should" what? "Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We must never, ladies and gentlemen, never, never say anything that is not necessary. Especially if it's none of our business. We're good at that, aren't we? Love getting to know people. We're not supposed to say anything that is not necessary. We've got to stop and we've got to think about that. Not only is it going to help the situation, is it going to help the person? Is it true? Is it even necessary to even talk about, to even use our time to discuss it? Is it even necessary to do that? We should not do that with a lost world, and we should not do it with the saints of God either. Is it necessary? So therefore, when the tensions are high, when the circumstances are fluid, when the tempers are flaring and raging that is everywhere, whenever we are faced with that moment, before we open our mouth to speak, we need to stop. We need to think. We need to say, is this even necessary? Is it true? Is it helpful to the situation? Is it inspiring and laced with integrity? And is it even necessary to say? Can I use my words, my air, my time in a more productive way than what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do? Think. Truth. Helpful. Is it inspiring? Integrity. Is it necessary? We also find we can say the K right here. Is it kind? Is it kind? again, I reiterate, see, we can say the truth sometimes. We can say what would be helpful. We can say what would be uplifting and inspiring. We can say some things that may even be necessary, but is it kind? Is it kind? I was in Lexington, Kentucky some years ago. There was a pastor there who was actually asked to go on to a big statewide, may have been nationally syndicated, I don't recall, radio program with a leading liberal politician of the state at the time. I think it was the governor. And the governor, or this high-level politician, was trying to do everything that he could to provoke this pastor, to get him to step, to get him to mess up, to where he would, hundreds of thousands, maybe people who are listening, to get him to step into something that was going to ruin his testimony. By the way, whenever you start feeling like you're in a situation where somebody's baiting you, step aside. We were on visitation one time, three of us together. We walked into a home and we began talking to an individual about the Lord. And he started talking to me, a lost man, about alcohol. How he believes it's okay that he can drink. He had pornographic material that was playing on his television. Thank God the ladies' backs were turned. I could see it. He thought it was okay to drink, though. If you ladies remember this, he was baiting me into a conversation about alcohol. It was okay for him to drink his beer. That was not a productive conversation for me to even engage in with a lost man. He's not going to understand that. His need is Jesus. And once he comes to the foot of the cross, we can talk about all that other stuff and show him from the Bible with an open heart. Well, you don't need to be even partaking in any of that. People that bait you, this man, this pastor in Kentucky. He stopped him and he said, "Sir," he said, "I know what you're doing." He said, "I'm not going to go any further with it. You're not going to make me be unkind to you." And this guy was leveling things. I mean, you know, all kinds of stuff against what he believed and his ministry and all this kind of stuff. I said, "I'm not going to be unkind to you. Don't listen to my words right here. But listen to the Bible." Why? As old Brother Don said, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And we'll get that in our heart. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. It will govern our lives. It will change our lives. Paul said again in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 32, listen please, "And be ye kind one to another," all of us, "for we are to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Have you recently forgiven anybody? One of the most freeing things of a child of God is saying, "I forgive you." Obviously to the Lord, but maybe to somebody else. Forgiving one another. Why? "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Where would we be today were it not for a loving, a merciful, and a forgiving God who steps in at our lowest moments and said, "I forgive you of the repeated sin and rebellion. You deserve to be in hell, but there was a pardon that was given to you through the forgiveness of a good God." Thank God for it. In this text, the word that we see, tenderhearted, the word actually means well-compassioned. The word is actually speaking of sympathetic, and that's what we are to be to other people. And when we find ourselves in these fluid situations, these temper-raging situations, this world that we are in, which, by the way, are baiting us into these debates, baiting us into these fires, we've got to stop and we've got to think. And when we get in the middle of that, we've got to be kind, sympathetic, have compassion. These people are lost, and they will go to hell. And we must remember that. The greatest lesson that we as a child of God could ever learn, and the greatest thing we could ever learn to do, is just to learn how to cry cry with somebody. Cry for somebody. The greatest tool of reaching people with the gospel and hurting Christians as well and helping them, every one of us possess. Every one of us do. Your spiritual gift may not be preaching. It may not be singing, as we heard so much wonderful music today. It may not be out knocking on doors. It may not be PR things. It may not be sound. It may not be IT stuff. It may not be any of those things. But every one of us have one thing God has given us, that if we would just use it and we would just learn through the Spirit of God, through compassion, to cry for hurting people, what God would do. This world needs to see us cry. That crusty exterior that we've got has got to be broken. We've got to start shedding tears. Tears of compassion. We've got to learn to be kind. So in the middle of all this mess that is going on in our world, which may only be escalating soon, in the middle of the tensions that are high, the circumstances that are fluid, the tempers that are raging and flaring everywhere, before we open our mouth, we better stop. We better think. We better make sure that we're being kind. Come on, Miss Mickey. Thank you so much. One thing we've all got in common this morning is we're all in the middle of this mess together. Every one of us. 2 or 3 weeks ago when I ran across this, God has used it time and time again in my life. Stop and think. And there have been multiple occasions that I was about to let it go. God reminded me, no. No. There have been occasions when in my flesh, you know how we are, we just want to go boom to somebody. Boom to this world. We've got to stop. We've got to think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring to that individual? Helpful to the situation, uplifting, inspiring to the person, done in integrity. Is it necessary? Is it kind? How many messes will we fail to get into? How many times will we not have to go back and say I'm sorry to somebody? If we will stop and consider truth, consider helpfulness, inspiration, necessity, and kindness. Would you bow your head with me, please? The chief concern I